Hi, everyone. Welcome. My name is Phil Mattia. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Feliciano School of Business. We are here recording our podcast with Jim Murley. This is his third podcast. We're talking about the stock market, the United States stock market, and doing a follow-up. So, Jim, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
So this is our third, as we mentioned. We did one in March, one in April, and this is our third now, and things have changed. Just as a point of reference, today is May the 20th. It's about 1 o'clock Eastern time as we record this interview. Just some quick stats before we get into our conversation with Jim. And just as a refresher, Jim is an alum of the Feliciano School of Business. He's also an adjunct professor. He's a donor on our advisory board, as well as an executive in residence. Jim's background, he's a retired global head of FID Syndicate, head of Global Finance Americas at Nomura Securities. So a very long, successful background in that industry. So his knowledge here is beneficial as we deal with this COVID issue. Just some stats, 14.7 unemployed Americans, or 36 million Americans filed for unemployment. The unemployment rate in April was 14.7%. Some believe we're closer to 20%. And just if you're over 20%, that's considered a depression. So our unemployment rate went from 3.6%, which was the lowest in before the outbreak. And now we're 14.7 or some saying close to 20%. Only twice in history that the unemployment rate has been over 10%. Once in October 2009, which was the meltdown of the stock market because of the mortgage crisis, and then in December of 1982, as well as obviously the Great Depression. So we're in unprecedented times. The unemployment rate is the highest since the Great Depression, which was at 25%. Right now, one in five Americans who want a job and can work are not able to work because they can't find work. And then also 80% of the layoffs that have occurred since the pandemic were furloughs. So a lot of really bad numbers and bad statistics. So one of those areas that tie into the job market, and we just did one recently, a podcast with the professor Ed Barisha, we talked about the job market, is the stock market. And the market prior to COVID was at an all-time high, over 29,000 was the Dow, was flirting with 30,000. The outbreak happened, it plummeted under 20,000. It has now gone up. I think went about 1,000 points up on Monday. Tuesday was down about 300. And last I looked, they're up about 400. So the Dow right now is around 23,000. So my first question to Jim is, when you think of the stock market and think of what's going on, all these numbers I just shared, why in the world is the market going up? And we're at that 23, 24,000. So not too far off of where we were pre-pandemic. Why you would think logic would tell you we should be way under 20,000. Why is it where it's at right now?
Yeah, thanks, Phil. The market, you often hear this phrase that the market is a discounting mechanism. So it's always, forward looking. And, if you think back in late Feb when we first started to hear some of these cases, there was, one case on the West Coast, there was no cases on the East Coast, and yet we had a couple of days of really bad stock market performance in late February. So the market was anticipating and discounting the future activity. We went down, as you said, very hard. We went down over 1,000 S&P points in a very, very short period of time. And then even when we were in the midst of sort of, the worst days of number of cases, number of deaths, expansion, the market started turning around. So the market is always forward looking. And what it's saying right now is we've sort of hit the bottom. If you look at the last couple of weeks, we've been sort of bouncing around these current levels. One day, like you said, we're up Monday, we're down Tuesday, we're up today. So the last week and a half, 2 weeks maybe, has been more of a flatlining, which I think is telling us that, the market's looking for the next thing. Right now, we're sort of in this holding pattern where we're waiting for the next new bit of news on the health front, and also to see how this sort of staged reopening goes. Does it, you know, does it go well? Does it not go well? Do we have a second leg? Do we not have a second leg? So I think right now we're sort of in this holding pattern.
Yeah, back in April, the Fed cut the rate to 0%, and you and I spoke about this at the second podcast. So how has that cut, you think, affected the market? Did it do anything, and was it the right decision by the Fed to do that in light of it's been a couple months now?
Yeah, I mean, so again, you know, I think in retrospect, the Fed was ahead of the curve, very aggressive. At the time, it seemed maybe a little bit premature, not only cutting rates, but then also creating a number of these different lending facilities really, really helped in a significant way. And so, you know, yes, I think that was a big help. I think we would have been much worse off had they not moved. And Washington also was, you know, surprisingly quick and aggressive in their response, unlike 08, 09, when they dragged their feet for a while and caused things to get worse. This time, I think they were much quicker to respond. And I think that helped, you know, helped significantly as well.
You mentioned the stimulus plan with Washington. I think there were three in total. There's talk of possibly doing a fourth. So of those stimulus plans that were enacted, what were the effects? Were they positive effects?
Yes. I mean, I think absolutely. Obviously, with the record number of people out of work, you know, the increased unemployment benefits, the one-time stimulus checks, the PPE programs for, you know, small businesses, I think all of those have had a positive effect. There's been articles and news about, you know, problems with each one of them and what didn't work and who didn't get it and so forth. But when you think about the massive amount of money that's been pushed to millions of people and millions of businesses across the country, you're inevitably going to have some problems along the way. Nothing of that magnitude is going to go perfectly smoothly. And so I think, you know, overall, those programs have been very well received. I think the markets have certainly liked to see them. I think not only from a practical standpoint, but also the implication that it sends that, you know, yes, Washington is working and yes, Washington is responding. And it's not just the Federal Reserve cutting rates, but also, you know, a monetary response to the problem as well. So I think they have had a big positive impact. The question, you know, down the road, once all is said and done, is, you know, we're going to have this massive, you know, deficit that, you know, is going to be unprecedented. And what does that mean for the markets at that point? You know, we haven't had a bout of inflation in a long time. There's been points in the last decade where people have talked about the possibility of inflation picking up, and it's never materialized for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, I read this morning the U.S. Treasury, Mnuchin announced that they're going to be selling 20-year bonds. I'm not sure if you've read that.
Yes.
What does that mean, and why would they do that? What's the benefit?
I mean, so, you know, the Treasury auctions, their regular scheduled auctions, you know, 3-month, 6-month, 1-year bills. They issue 5-year, 2-year, 5-year, 7-year, 10-year. So they issue debt across the whole yield curve on a regular basis. A number of years ago, they eliminated the 20-year as a normal maturity, just because it wasn't particularly popular. They didn't feel that it was all that necessary or useful in the context of their whole liability management program. So they eliminated it. Now that they're issuing a significantly greater amount of debt, they're trying to hit basically every potential pocket of demand across the curve. So they're reintroducing a 20-year maturity as a way of issuing more debt without doing too much in any one individual maturity. So they're trying to spread it out across the whole yield curve. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see them introduce some other, you know, new maturities or new instruments as well, because they have a lot to do and they can't do it all in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years.
So that 20-year bond, is that something that companies purchase, individuals purchase?
I mean, typically the longer end of the Treasury curve, the biggest buyers are pension funds, insurance companies, state funds, sovereign wealth funds, you know, so it's more of an institutional type of product than it is individual, particularly at these current yield levels. You don't see a lot of individuals buying long-dated debt with such low interest rates. But, you know, they could be buying it through some, you know, government mutual funds or through their company pension plans or that type of thing.
We talked about stimulus plans, and there's a fourth one that the House Democrats have just approved. It looks like it's dead in the Senate. I don't think the Senate Republicans are going to go for it. I don't need your opinion on politically, but do you think a fourth stimulus plan is needed with respect for the economy and the stock market without getting into the minutiae of what's involved in what's in that plan?
I mean, it would appear that way. I don't have a strong view, you know, on that at this particular point, but I would say, you know, it does feel like it's needed. And I say that based on the fact that, you know, the amount of the stimulus, if you look at the amount of the stimulus as a percentage of GDP, you know, and then you look at the amount of GDP that we've lost in these last few months, it's not keeping pace. So if they're trying to keep things afloat until such time as the, it would appear that yes, we need another round of, you know, of stimulus. You know, the form that takes and, you know, how long it goes on for, I don't have a strong view on, but it seems like, you know, there is more that needs to be done. Yes.
Yeah. On Monday, as I mentioned, the market was up, and I think what drove it was Moderna came out with the vaccine or potential vaccine that had worked in some or stage one trials with some human trial was working. We saw a bounce, but I would think that the hope of a vaccine or a potential vaccine would drive the market up tremendously. So as we move forward, it seems that possibly January, they're saying Moderna may have this ready. And I think Johnson, there's over 100 now vaccines in progress, but what impact will the vaccine have on the market, on the stock market?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that's the single biggest factor, obviously. You know, if at some point we get some, you know, medical confirmation that there is a vaccine that works and, you know, it's been tested and proven and so forth, I think that's a huge, you know, that's a huge uptick. That being said, like we said a few moments ago at the beginning of the call, we've already retraced about 70% of the move lower. So we were at record highs in February. We went down significantly. We've retraced about 70% of that loss. So, you know, do we go beyond the previous high? I don't personally think so, because, you know, companies' earnings are still going to be impacted. And once this health scare is behind us, then people will go back to looking at the market on the kind of basis that we've historically valued companies, which is earnings and, you know, future growth and, you know, PE and all of those kinds of metrics. And, you know, and then we'll see, you know, where we are at that point. Right now, you know, based on the fact that companies aren't even forecasting what they're going to earn, you know, we're trading at very, very high historical multiples. And so, you know, if we do get a vaccine, yes, I think we'll get a strong bounce. We've already gotten a lot of that bounce already. And so, you know, I don't think we're going to like immediately shoot back to the old highs. I think we can retrace another, you know, 10, 15, 20% improvement, but we're not, I don't think we're going back to where we were in February until we get a couple quarters under our belt that demonstrate companies' earnings.
And that leads me to my next question. So the big mystery is now, when is the economy going to move, not get back to normal, but seeing some increases in job numbers and everything and that, along those lines. Economists are saying it'll take 3 to 5 years before the economy returns back to what it was pre-pandemic. Washington, Mnuchin, Trump, obviously things are laced. These are politically laced, of course. But they're saying by fourth quarter, we'll see a big bounce. And then next year, 2021, would be a great year. What are your thoughts on that? You know, politics aside, when do you think we will get back to normal? But not even at that point, when do you think things will just get better?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously I think a lot of it depends on the health side. So testing, vaccine, medication, et cetera. Those are all the, you know, the keys. But let's assume for a second that, you know, we do get some, you know, some progress on that front. I think that we'll definitely see a bounce in the third and fourth quarter, you know, if for no other reason than we had such a bad second quarter, right? So, you know, by comparison, we're going to be looking at third quarter numbers relative to a second quarter that was basically the economy was shut down. So yes, you're going to see good numbers in the third quarter. Yes, you're going to see good numbers in the fourth quarter. When people talk about getting back to normal, if normal means 3.5% unemployment, which is where we were, you know, in February, I don't think we're getting there for a long period of time. I was looking at some news articles this morning. They reopened some casinos in like Missouri and Louisiana, not in Vegas or Jersey, but in some of the other you know, casino locations, and there were lines of people out the door waiting to get in, you know. So I think people are ready to get back to their life, whether that's work, recreation, gambling, you know, play, whatever it is. But I think people want to get back. And, you know, once people get back, they're going to be spending money and places are going to be selling goods and services. And so, you know, we're going to see an improvement. I don't think we're going to get back to pre-COVID, you know, within the next 6-9 months.
Yeah, one of the things they talked about a month ago, and I think you and I talked about this in a previous podcast, was infrastructure. And the Republicans were talking about it, the Democrats were talking about it. It was interesting because they actually kind of agreed on it, and then it kind of went away. I know in the House plan, infrastructure wasn't covered. And now the Republicans are not talking about it either. I personally, infrastructure makes sense because you put people back to work and you're building our roads and bridges and airports. What are your thoughts on investing in infrastructure? Is this the right time to do it now, or should they just wait?
I mean, to me, if you're going to spend and you're going to take on more, you know, deficit spending, you know, that certainly is an area where you can justify, you know, the spend. You know, it creates jobs. It, you know, it helps the, you know, the communities. It's, you know, a necessary spend. It's not something that you're spending just for the sake of spending. So to me, and I did hear Mnuchin about a week or so ago comment on, you know, the fact that rates are so low, now would be a good time to increase that, you know, that borrowing, that spending, you know, for something like a long-term project of infrastructure build. So I think it's, number one, I think it's long overdue. Number two, I think it's a good use. If we're going to ramp up government spending, it's a good use of that government spending. And certainly in an environment like this where, you know, we're looking to kind of recreate the employment economy, you know, it creates a lot of jobs. So I think it would be a, you know, a good use of funds.
From what the Republicans have been saying, I think McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy had mentioned they want to wait, let the money get out there and see what to do next for the fourth stimulus, give it a couple weeks and see how it all plays out. So I guess we'll have to wait to see what's going to come of that. On our last podcast, we talked about the current state of the economy, and I asked you what recommendations would you provide and how to recover. And we talked about stimulus plans in this call. We talked about infrastructure. We talked about other different ways. Is there anything else the government's missing or they should be doing that you think that, you know, here's something else that the government can do to help this economy move along?
I mean, I think I said on the previous call, and I would say again, I mean, I do feel like they've thrown a lot, you know, at this problem, both from a monetary as well as a fiscal standpoint. I mean, you know, the number of programs that the Federal Reserve has instituted is unprecedented. The amount of money that the federal government is, you know, been providing, both on unemployment, you know, as well as stimulus is unprecedented. So it's hard for me to think of something else other than just sort of more of, you know, so, you know, you asked a few moments ago about the next stimulus plan. I think from what I've been seeing and hearing, reading, you know, the debate is kind of one side is saying, let's wait and see how this goes and whether or not we need it. And the other side is saying, you know, let's not wait, let's do more now. And, you know, let's keep the, you know, the spigots open. So I think it's just a matter of sort of, you know, coordinating those two timings. I think the Republicans aren't saying, no, we don't need it. They're saying we want to wait and see if we do. And the Democrats are saying we do need it. Like I said earlier, I think that there will be a more stimulus plan or some sort of extension or modification to the existing ones. And, you know, I think as the economy reopens and as people start getting back to work and consumers start spending again, you know, they'll see how long they need to keep those open and how long they need to keep those programs going.
So if I'm a casual investor, is this a good time to invest in the market as an individual, in your opinion?
So, you know, again, like I hate to sound cliche, but I would say right now, because of what we've seen already, I wouldn't be pounding the table right now to be jumping in. We've had a big rebound. We're sort of in a, you know, in a sort of flatlining, you know, environment at this point. You know, I would not be pounding the table to say you have to get in now. That opportunity of, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago is, you know, is largely moved. I think at this point you can afford to wait a bit. We're kind of near the end of current earnings reporting season. Most companies, if not every company, is pointing to, you know, coronavirus in some way, shape, or form in their earnings reports by saying it's caused increased expenses, it's caused reduction in revenues, it's caused all sorts of problems in their business. I think you're going to have another window of opportunity, you know, before you need to, you know, jump into the market. So, you know, I wouldn't be pounding the table right now and saying you got to jump in there.
Yeah, I think the other issue with the states, see how they come out of this, because I know many states are, most states are in the red at this point because they're running deficits because of the reduced income that are coming in, sales tax and different things like that. Yep. It's one of the arguments that's happening now with the House Democrats and the Senate Republicans is giving money back to the states so they could afford to pay cops, firemen, teachers, and yep. their services. So that's also, I think, a part of the next stimulus plan, however that plays out with the parties. But I think that'll be part of it. I think the ramifications once we get to back to normal, whatever that normal is seeing how companies adjust. And think of an average restaurant. If you have 100 patrons, now you can only have 50 because of social distancing. So that's going to impact a small business owner. So there's so many ripple effects to the new normal we're going to deal with until there's that vaccine, and hopefully that happens in the near future.